Amen and amen. Oh, you do have an expectation for tonight? Do you have an expectation for tonight? Listen, God is not done. There's so much stuff that He wants to do in our lives, and especially tonight as we gather as families. And I want you to have an expectation tonight. Is that fine? Save me hunger. As you are hungry for the Lord, He will always come and have an encounter with you. There's something about the hungry hearts of the saints. Amen. You're welcome to be seated for a moment. Worship team, you need to push and help me tonight. I have a massive expectation for what the Lord's going to do tonight, especially because the Lord spoke to me about last week, Sunday evening, as I was not here, but I felt God speak to me very specifically about the anointing. And it's very specifically tonight that we have families here, of course, because we want to see families being anointed. Who of you know, guys know, a revival looks like family? No. Let's say that again. Revival looks like family. Come on, can I have an amen or something? Listen, we can shout in the world. We can shout in church as well. Is that okay? The world is loud, so the Christians can be louder. I don't know about you, but I have a fire that's inside of me. It's not this little light of mine. There's a fire that burns inside of me. The Bible says He will come and baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire. Are you there? So as we sit here tonight, we are lions. We are not some kitty cats. Are you okay? Save me the anointing. No, you have to talk back. Save me the anointing. Listen, we have just gone through 2 years of COVID where they've taught you how to do certain things. Now I need to unteach you again to become loud again for the Lord, so that we can take the territory that belongs to us, not the world. Are you there? Come on, guys. Are you with me? Just push me a little bit there on the sound, on the keys. I want you to understand that because we've just gone through 2 years plus where we have been taught how to do certain things, and now we need to unteach the people again to get back into the anointing. Are you there? I want to go to different scriptures tonight, and I'm going to be quick because we want to lay hands. We're going to displace the kingdom of darkness, and we're going to bring in the kingdom of light. Are you with me? Come on, are you there? Families, are you there? And so we want to displace so that we can put back into the light of the world. Who of you know that Jesus is the light of the world? Who of you know that you are the light of the world? Because Jesus calls you the light. Jesus calls you the salt of the earth. The purpose of salt is not to stick together. The purpose of salt is to spread. Because as we spread, are you with me? As we spread, everything that we touch, we contaminate with the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who of you know there is not a king, is the king. He's not a way, is the way. He's not a begotten, is the begotten. He's not a lamb, is the lamb. I don't know about you. Come on, it's not a anointing, it's the anointing. Come on, there's different levels to this, but I want you to understand tonight that what we are doing here is we want to get you soaked in the anointing. Yes. Come on, are you there? We need more anointed. We need more anointed men and women of God in this hour than ever any other time before. Because it is light against darkness. I want you to understand that the enemy is very threatened when people start to understand who they are. The greatest question that Satan has always tried to do with Christians is, did God say? And if you are, the two greatest things that the devil will ever tell you or try to tell you, if you are, did God say? If you can fix, did God say? And if you can fix who you are, there's nothing that will be impossible for you. Let me say that again. Oh, come on. I'm gonna preach to this side of the church. Let me say that again. The greatest two theological questions that Satan will pose any person is, did God say, and if you are? Yes. He came to Eve, did God say? He came to Jesus, if you are. Identity, destiny. Identity, purpose. That's why when the Father speaks, oh, come on, is there somebody that wants this tonight? When the Father speaks, He always speaks for identity and for purpose. Purpose drives you into your identity. Your identity drives you into purpose. Without those two things, listen, I don't know about you, but I've not been born to be a normal. I am ordinary with an extraordinary God. Is there somebody with me like that? Come on, God just is looking for a family that He can use. God is looking for a man. God is looking for a woman. What is a woman? By the way, if you are confused, it is a man with a womb. If you don't have a womb, you're a brother. Let's just fix that in Empower Church. Let me say that again now. Let me just catch a revelation. A man and a woman. What is a woman? A man with a womb. Check yourself biologically. If you don't have a womb, you're a brother. You're a man. Come on, guys. Are you okay? Are you saved? We're not confused. Social media might be, but we're not. In the beginning, He made them male and female. But there's an us in heaven, and therefore there has to be an us upon the earth. God wants to bring back the us. God wants to save families again. God wants to bring families back together again. Because the enemy just got it right to get families separated. Now God wants to bring them back again. Come on, is there someone? Are you with me? The greatest revival that can hit the earth is when a father and a mother serve the Lord with their children, and He becomes the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You have to understand that. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What you conquer, your children will never need to fight, and that's why we're doing this meeting tonight. You have to understand the prayers that you pray, your children will not need to pray because you are fighting a way open for them. Are you there? That's why God doesn't call a man, He calls generations. Oh, are you catching what I'm saying? Never in the Bible do you see God calling a man. He calls a generation. When He called Abraham, He had Isaac in mind. When He called Jesus, He had you in mind. No, I don't know if you understand that. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Abraham's yes was a gateway for Jacob's yes. Let me say that again. Abraham's yes was a gateway for Jacob's yes. You see, what the difference between Abraham and Jacob is just this. None of them can pass on their story with God. Because you cannot pass on history, but what you can pass on is faith. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. You'll find Himself, He'll introduce Himself like that. Who are you? I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When He comes to Jacob, He wants to turn him. He wants to make him an Israel. You know what I love about God while I'm on it? God could have chosen the name Israel for Jacob. Because the word Jacob means swindler. It means thief. It means robber. It means one that is a biggie chliberach. You're getting what I'm saying. You know these people that you get, of course not you guys tonight, but you ken hierdie glibberige mense. Dis Jacob. Okay, don't replace his name now with other stuff. You understand what I'm saying? Jacob, a glibberige ookie. Come on guys, you know what I'm saying. But God doesn't take Jacob and he doesn't change his name in the Bible to Israel. Let me just say that into context here. He takes Jacob, He changes him into Israel, right? Israel means prince. Jacob means swindler or thief or robber. Everybody okay? Are you with me? Just smile in the darkness. You look. Are you guys good? Yeah, understand. Okay, let me move on because save me revelation. If you can catch what I'm going to say tonight, and because I want you to catch the anointing tonight. And the anointing is not it's not a dove, it's not the oil, it's a person. His name is the Holy Spirit. Are you there? He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what I like about this, and I don't want to talk too long, I just want to speak to you about key components. God could have left it as Jacob. Or He could have left it, or He could have changed it, my apologies, into Israel. Israel means prince. Jacob means thief, swindler. But God leaves it as the God of Jacob. Because He wants you to understand that He uses the imperfect for perfect reasons. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. If you remember nothing that I say tonight, if you can remember 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 27 to 29, God uses the foolish, the base, and the weak to do unusual things. The quicker you can say to yourself, yet when I'm weak, I am a perfect qualifier for the power of the Lord. He'll start to use you. Oh, come on, are you there? Save me the anointing. A couple of things I want you to understand. I hear some people say the anointing. No. The anointing. Are you there? In Acts chapter number 10, verse number 38, I just want to give you key components here tonight. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Please note that. And how he went around doing good, healing all, not some, all, who were under the power of the devil, for God was with him. I want you to see that again. God was with him. The word anointing is a Greek word for Christos, and it's the Hebrew word mashach, and it means to smear, to rub, to consecrate for a specific purpose, for a specific design. Now, as you sit here tonight, and it's by the way, I enjoy to see how many people come out on Sunday nights, but and specifically tonight, but as I, you have to understand the purpose of what we're going to do. That's why I'm laying a foundation right now. Because as you get robbed, as you get smeared, as you get consecrated, you can never stay the same. After tonight, things have to shift permanently in your life because of the anointing. Oh, come on. There is three things: the anointing, the call, and the preparation. Let me say that again. The anointing, the call, and the preparation. When God called you, he called you before your mother's, before you were in your mother's womb, you were already called. I almost said tomb. Before you were in your mother's womb, you were already called. The Bible says when he knitted you together, fearfully and wonderfully made, you were already called. Okay, I see some people don't believe that. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 9 says this: you were conformed into the image of Christ before you were born. So before you chose him, he already chose you. Before your mother ever thought about your father, you were already chosen in the mind of God. Oh, now you have to understand that God is so much God that before mom and dad came together, God already had you in mind. He knew what color of eyes you would wear, what color of skin you will have. He decided when you would be born. He decided what purpose you'll place inside of you. He decided everything about you. There's nothing that you have that he did not give to you. Your eyes, your nose, your talents, your personalities, your gifts. Even you choosing him to get born again is a gift from him. Come on, he is fully God. He's fully in control. He's the omnipotent one. He's all-knowing. He's all-consuming. And he is omniscient in all of his ways. Oh, come on. Can we just give him? Come on, empower. Are you there? So you have the anointing, you have the call, and you have purpose. And what you have to understand, he called you long before you were born. Your yes was not the first yes. You had the second yes when heaven already said yes. Come on, do you understand that? If you can understand how much you are loved, then you can understand how much he wants to empower that what he loves. The key to the anointing is the love of God. The key to the love of God is the understanding of why he wants to use his power. He doesn't want to display power because he just wants to display power. No, he's in love with the creation that he made. And that because he's in love, he wants to anoint people for a time such as this to go tell other people that he's not mad, that he's in a good state, and he wants to save people. Are you there? That's why we are here as families together tonight, because you believe that God can use you and your family and your children for his name's sake. Do I have families that believe that? Come on, are you there? God, come on, just give Jesus some praise. Come on, guys. Oh, as I stand in front of you tonight, you have to understand the power of what I just said. The call of God was made long before you said yes. You had a yes in heaven. Jesus comes walking onto the scene at the age of 30 years old, done nothing good or bad. The Bible just says, God already says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Acts 10:38, anointing, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He went about doing good, healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. When I read this scripture, I've taught this in a lot of different ways, but I want to say this last component for you again, for God was with him. It doesn't matter who's with you, who's not with you. Who needs to be with you is God. You can be unpopular in many rooms. You can be the topic of discussion in many bedrooms and in many living rooms and in many families' rooms. But as long as you have God with you, you have got nothing to fear. Oh, come on. Oh, praise be to the name of the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. Ah, the anointing. You see, David was called long before he came to the scene. The anointing that came upon him was a byproduct of God calling him before he was ever born. God's, by the way, what's interesting for me between Saul and King David was this. Saul was the man, the people's choice. David was God's choice. With Saul, they bring a bowl out to anoint him. With David, they bring a horn out to anoint him. Oh, come on, empower. Are you? I want you to sit like on your edge of your seats, wanting God. You know, sometimes I can tell you the truth. One of the things that I've learned from the Lord is simply this, is God will often look at you and then he will hide himself from you, seeing if you want him. Because as a deer panteth after streams of a living water, so my soul longs for you. And often what God will do, he will reveal himself to see, do you really want him? I pray that there's Moses in this crowd tonight that says, Lord, I want to see you. Lord, I want to behold you. I pray that there's Daniel's here that says, I will not let the world around me determine the atmosphere of in me. I pray that there's Joseph's here tonight that will not give up on your dreams and your selections and how God has called you in this hour. I pray that there's John's here that is 14 years of age that says, I will start to serve the Lord with all of my heart, with all of my might and everything that is within me. Come on. You know, save me the anointing. I love the anointing. I don't know about you, but I love the anointing. Because with the anointing, everything changes. Without the anointing, nothing can change. Listen to this. Acts 3, verse number 5. I'm just giving you key components about the anointing. Acts chapter number 3, verse number 5. Pastors, you need to get ready. The Lord's going to move. Acts chapter number 3, verse number 5 to 7. Listen to this. So the man gave them his attention. I want you just to see that. A man sitting at the gate, I'll explain now, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. He was lying, by the way. He did have money. But Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. But what I have, whom I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, very specific, of Nazareth, get up and walk. He took taking him by the right hand. Peter helped him up. And at once the man's feet and ankle bones were made strong. I want you to see here. When I read this, I nearly fell out of my bed. So the man gave them. And when I read them, the Lord said, there's the us. Then the Lord gave them, Peter and John, standing in front of a man, lame, stuck in a system, stuck in a world that couldn't help him. So the man gives them his attention. You have to understand, if you can put together the us of God inside of you, nothing will be impossible for you. You can say, what is the us? It's you and God agreeing on what God said. What is worship? It is the songs of God that God wants to be sang, which He wants to hear. Worship is not a perfect melody. Worship is not a perfect string. We have some of the best musicians on the stage, but worship is not even the best expression of whatever we can perform. Worship is the song that God wants to have sang at a certain time for His sake. That's worship. Oh, if you want to tap into the presence of God, this is how you do it. You find out what He wants you to sing and you sing it to Him. Oh, I'm seeking worshipers that can worship me in spirit and in truth. Because worship is not a feeling. Oh, come on, are you there? Is this too much? That's why we must worship the Lord with a shout.
That's why we must worship the Lord of the hand clap. That's why we must worship the Lord of our drums. That's why we must worship the Lord of our keys. Let everything that has breath, oh no, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Oh, do you think he's gonna come silently? No! Let everything that has breath. Are you with me? When he's gonna come back, he's gonna be so loud, he's gonna rip your grandmother out of the grave. You better believe it. An archangel is gonna make such a big trumpet sound. The Bible says the heavens will split and the Son of Man will descend. Anybody that was dead in the Lord will descend with the Lord. The Bible calls this a mystery. It will happen in a twinkle of an eye. The anointing. Oh, how great a day that will be. I wonder how they're going to explain that one. Millions of people gone. Can you imagine? The anointing. I pray tonight that there's people, Acts 19:12. There's people here tonight, and everything I'm doing, I'm giving you pockets of power here. Because two men were so filled with the Holy Spirit that they couldn't leave another man stuck. So why are we here tonight as families? Very simply because God doesn't want you stuck. God doesn't want you in a system that will deplete you and leave you. God wants you filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. The R. Smith Wigglesmith wants the question, when do you rest? He says, this is how I rest. He says, when I pray, I rest. They asked the great John G. Lake. They said, John G. Lake, what is it that is different about you? He said, there is not a minute that I don't think about God. They put in his hand the black plague, and in his hand, he said, give me the plague. They put it in his hand. And as soon as the plague touched the hand of John G. Lake, the plague died. The great A. Allen, that pulled people out of wheelchairs. Catherine Kuhlman, that in times was so filled with the Holy Ghost that it seemed like she levitated from the ground because she was so full of power. How about Enoch that walked with God and he was so close to the Lord that one day God said to him, listen, my house is closer than yours, so let's go to mine. What about Abram? What about Moses? Come on, what about different about these people? These people's stories provoke something inside of me that says, if this is possible, I want it. I don't want to be a professional photographer, look, smile, and they can edit me all right. No, I want to take people into the glory of the Lord, into the power of His Spirit, in the might of the Lord. Come on. And it's going to happen through prayer. It's going to happen through a decision once again. Families, listen to me. Men of God, ladies, listen to me. It happens with a decision. Yeah, it happens with a people saying, no, I've spent time with you, now I'm going to spend time with the Lord. There's something inside of me, I don't know about you, but I can't settle for normal. Woe unto me if I settle for normal. Woe unto us if we settle for normal in a season and a time where that people really need to know the Lord. Teenagers around the world right now, we have the highest unbelief in God that we've ever had. Why? Because most of them say, where is this God that you're telling us about? Show Him. And can I tell you, I have searched high and low and I've only found two vehicles to the power of God. Vehicle number one, prayer. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Jude 1:20. Bible says, build yourself up, dearly beloved, by praying in the Holy Ghost. He will do nothing unless I pray. Yet he can do everything he wants to. But he's chosen to limit himself to his word. Families, listen to me tonight. Why are you here? Because God wants to do it through you. He can do it without you, but he doesn't want to because his word is limited to you. Oh, do you understand that? The Bible says that God gave the earth to man. He's not a man that he can lie. He's not like the person that has left you during COVID. No, God keeps his word. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Oh, come on, are you there?
No, some of you didn't catch what I just said. He is always the same. Two vehicles of power. The first one is prayer. Howbeit, I do not know what I need to pray for as I ought, but the Spirit prays through me with groanings and utterance, which I do not understand. Let nobody tell you there's not power in prayer. No, no, no. There's a lot of power in prayer. And we need people back into prayer. We need fathers back into prayer. We need mothers back into prayer. We need children back into prayer. Come on, are you there? It blesses me to see families here tonight, because family looks like revival. Revival looks like family. Can you imagine, as I stand in front of you tonight, I am the byproduct of a father that served the Lord. But he was a byproduct of his father serving the Lord. Now, my dad served the Lord until the day he died. Can you imagine if we serve the Lord faithfully, how strong our children will become? Oh no, do you understand what I'm saying? Parents, listen to me tonight. Can you imagine the power that will be dormant or will be active in your children if you stay faithful? How many people have left the Lord for the sake of convenience? Oh, let the anointing speak to you tonight. Faithfulness to the ways of the Lord qualifies you to be a carrier of the power and qualifies you to actually hand something over. There's something greater than a will that you can have over. There's something greater than riches that you can hand over. You can hand over your faith. You can hand over your perseverance. You can have over your steadfastness. You can hand over your faithfulness. You can hand over your worship. Why in this church are we still singing the songs that my dad worshiped the Lord with? Because we understand the power of legacy, the power of handing over generation upon generation, going further, higher, deeper with the Lord. Oh, no, come on, give Jesus some praise, I believe. Oh. Come on, guys, are you feeling what I'm feeling? May the anointing touch you tonight. The anointing is so powerful, it can shift kingdoms inside of you. Can you imagine this? Acts 19:12. Ask this about a scripture. Again, I'm just throwing key concepts for you. When the handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases and evil spirits were expelled. Paul was working at his tent. They take a cloth, they take his sweat, they go put it on unbelievers, demons go, sickness go. Kingdom shift with a man's sweat. What is that? The anointing. A man baptized. You have to understand, if you talk about Paul, think about Paul for a moment. The man gets stoned, they roll a stone upon his head. He stands up, he goes back into the city, go preach again. How's that possible? The anointing. They beat his feet to a pulp. The Bible says they hit his feet. 39 times he received the beatings on his feet. 3 times he received that. If you study this, they beat your feet to a pulp. In other words, you can't walk, you're maimed for life. However, every time it happened to Paul, he stood up, he goes back. How? The anointing. The anointing will take an ordinary person and make you an extraordinary person. Listen to me tonight. The only thing you must learn of the anointing is that there's something that carries the anointing. It's called character. God will always rest upon what looks like Him. Let me say that again. God will always rest upon that that looks like Him. Jesus did not come to reveal Himself. Jesus came to reveal the Father. The Holy Spirit didn't come to reveal Himself. The Holy Spirit came to reveal Jesus. You have not come to reveal Jesus. You have come to reveal the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that reveals Jesus. It is Jesus that reveals the Father. It is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the love of God, and it's the communion of the Holy Spirit. So you start with the Spirit. He takes you to the Son. The Son takes you to the Father. The Father takes you back to the Son. There are three, yet they're one. We don't understand that. You have to understand, if you love Jesus, you cannot not be in love with the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. Come on, people confuse this stuff. They say, no, but I like Jesus, but I don't know about this. Listen, the Holy Spirit's not a feeling. He's a person. Come on, are you there? Can you imagine? My question to you tonight, dearest families, before I'm going to rub you full of oil tonight. You better believe that. Acts 19:12. My question to you tonight is this. There's still people like this left on the earth. It says, I wanted the anointing so much. I will travel in my car how far I need to get the anointing. You cannot buy the anointing. You cannot get the anointing, but the hunger of God inside of you will drive you to many places to seek the Lord out. It will make you do crazy things for the Lord, because you know without power, God says this, and we quote this too much, but we don't explain it too often. Zechariah 4 verses 6, the Bible says, through Zerubbabel, which God showed him something, says, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. What does that scripture mean? That scripture is a direct reference back to when they built the Tower of Babel. Zerubbabel is a I get another Afrikaans name for it. It's an afsameling from the word Babel. It's a descendant of the word Babel. And what God was referring to was a time where people tried to build high things by their own strength. And God came down and he looked at it and he said, this is not how we're going to do it. Because people had one imagination, they had one language. And the Bible says that if we leave them, they can do everything they want to. Whatever they imagine, they can do. And so that's why the Bible says, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Why by the Spirit of the Lord? Can I go 2 seconds into this and then we're going to move? Are you guys with me still? Come on, are you there? Okay, listen. I want you to understand this, because as in the book of Genesis, there came a time where the Lord put the same imagination back into the people. And there came a time where God put the same language back into the people. You say, when? It's very simple. The day a young man walked into the Jordan River and lived a life of 3.5 years in dedication to his father and died on a cross, went to a grave, conquered death, hate, and hell, being the first born from the dead. You see, as you sit here as Christians, there's some things that must make you must fundamentally believe to make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian very fundamentally is condition number one. You must believe in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. You must believe in God incarnated in man. You must believe in the virgin birth. You must believe that Jesus went to the cross being fully obedient to the Father. You must believe he went to the grave. You must believe he conquered the cross and the grave. You must believe that he descended into hell, took the keys of Hades, hell, and the grave, and he ascended to the Father and bestowing his blood upon the eternal altar, paying the price now and forevermore. And then you believe in his name, that in his name there's redemption of sins, there's forgiveness of your sins by the sacrifice of the Son. That makes you a Christian. Come on, are you there? Oh, it doesn't make us a Christian to shout and to lift our hands. What makes us a Christian is that we are believers in the blood of the Son of God that was spilled for us, that brought us out of condemnation back into the family of God. Why does family look like revival? Because the first thing God does when he saves you, he makes you a child again. Oh, come on, did you catch what I just said? John chapter number 1, verse number 12. It says this, quickly throw it up for me, John 1:12. Everybody still, are you still okay? Are you saved? May the anointing come and touch you tonight. May the anointing remove systems out of you. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in His name. The word children, save me children, is the Greek word hagios. And no, that's not a curse word. It means those that have got all the rights because somebody else died. That's the word children. When does a child have rights to an estate? At the death of a parent, right? So what gives them access is a testament written in the death of someone. Are you there? So the testament, listen, I'm giving you a secret. The testament is your promise of what is yours. But for you to access the testament or the full rights that you have, somebody needs to die. Are you there? Now, you and I are living in the New Testament. And for you to access full power of what this Bible promises you, there has to be only one death. And it's you dying in Him. Because He already died, which gives you access to this. No, I don't know if we understand what I just said there. Galatians chapter number 2:21, quickly please. Galatians 2:20. Come on guys, are you with me? Families, are you ready? Galatians 2. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Oh, Zotero, do you understand that? The anointing is a system of one man touching another man as a representation of God. The anointing is daily bread. He did not say, give me second day's bread. He said, get daily bread. Then the Lord said this to me, and I'm going to prophesy this as we're going to lay hands. Guys, get ready with the oil. I'm going to prophesy this to you. As I was sitting with the Lord yesterday, He said these words to me. He said, religion, and I'm going to read it slowly so that you can quote me on it. Religion is man's attempt to manage the confusion without God and without the Spirit of God. Religion is man's best attempt to manage our confusion without God and without the Spirit of God. And then He said this to me. He said, religion is the product of man's pride and his refusal to accept me as God. You see, if you take a system and you take God out, what do you have? Religion. But if you put God in, you have relationship. And my prayer for you tonight is this, and this I'll prophesy to you as we're going to lay hands, and I'm going to usher you into a new dimension tonight with the Lord, is that the Lord will bring you to a Rehoboth place tonight. What is the Rehoboth place? It is a broad, wide open space. God promised this to Isaac. You can go and study the word Rehoboth. It's R-E-H-O-B-O-T-H, Rehoboth. It means broad, wide open, Breeplakker, that's a nice word in Afrikaans, Breeplakker. Wide open spaces. God has got a wide open space that belongs to you. You know, the Lord revealed something to me in prayer. Are you guys ready to receive tonight? The Lord revealed something to me in prayer during the course of this week. He said to me, I was praying, and as I was praying, the Lord took me into the Spirit, which happens from time to time. And as I was praying, the Lord showed me different positions. Oh, and as I was seeing positions and people and places and seats, one of the things He said to me was this. He said to me, you have to understand, when I call a man, when I call a woman, when I call a family, I don't replace it. When they leave their seats that I prepared for them, their seat stays vacant. I don't replace it. I just call another. You have to understand. And as I had a dream in the beginning of this year, I don't want to go into that, where I saw people literally walking out of the river of God. And I saw the multitude coming down the river. And I remember in the dream, I was standing in the middle, and Pastor Stephen was on my left and Pastor Eric was on my right. And as the people were coming down, we were throwing people out of the river, and I was looking up and there was masses of people coming down. And there were people that should have been in front of us, but they were no longer there. Their places were vacant. And I remember in this dream, there was thousands of people coming down this river, and I knew we didn't have enough people to help us to get all the people out of this river, because I knew in the dream, the people were in trouble. And then in the dream, the Lord said to me this. He said, ask me for people to come and help you, and I'll send them. You have to understand that you enter His courts of thanksgiving, you enter eternity with faithfulness. Let the faithful inherit eternal life. Amen. Zotro, the anointing. Save me, the anointing. Families, what I want us to do tonight, as you are here, many of you, we are going to do the following. We are going to anoint dads and moms together, husbands and wives and children. We're going to anoint you, and we're going to prophesy, because I believe that God wants to bring you into a broad, wide open space. Come on, is there somebody with me that, are you there? Let me challenge you of this tonight. I want to challenge you with this thought tonight. If I can provoke hunger inside of you, just hunger. The guys online, you can come and go for it. If I can just provoke hunger inside of you again, that you understand that as you spend time with the Lord, it's not just for anything. Let me say it like this. When you have spent time with the Lord, you carry an atmosphere. The atmosphere of heaven is the glory of the Lord. Now, I want you just to understand what do I mean by that, because that's what we want. I want you to understand it, because that's what we're going to do tonight. When we lay hands on you and we pray for you and we consecrate you as families, what you have to leave with is atmosphere. How do you know what is atmosphere? Atmosphere is when, for example, I've been in a place and I leave a place and you smell my perfume. It means I've been in a place, and what I've left is a deposit of what I carry. I don't know if you're ready for this. If I enter a room, please listen to me. God said these things with me. These things come by time and with the Lord. If I enter a room and I leave a room, and you come into that room and you smell my perfume, you know I was there. And then the Lord shared with me something. He said to me, when I am in a place, what I leave in a place is signs, wonders, and miracles. It's a deposit that I was there, but I've already moved. And then the Lord said to me, many times my people camp around my atmosphere, where they should hunt me. Because if you catch the Lord, you have everything that you want anyway. Miracles, signs, wonders, and miracles are all things that are there to show you back to Him. You must go like this. I want Him. Are you there? Okay, so this is how we're going to do tonight. There's our locations, and everybody is online. And what I want to do inside Pretoria tonight, we want you to come as families. Because as families, we're going to pray for you, lay hands on you. And as I lay hands, we're going to rob you tonight. I'm not going to throw oil out on you, don't worry. But what I am going to do is I'm going to make sure you are anointed. Are you there? And we want to do that in families, because in this month of May, we want to take families back to God. If I can get a father committed to the Lord, and I can get a mom committed to the Lord, and I can have a child committed to the Lord, everything shifts. God visited Samuel because Eli didn't want to listen anymore. Do not be as a parent, everybody that listens to me online, don't be so stubborn that God needs to visit your kids. Because He'll visit them. Because they have not been often injured by religion. I need to stop. I want us to come as families tonight. As you come out as families, can we have our house lights, please? As you come out as families tonight, what I want to do, just want, yes, because there's the house is full. So what I want to do is very simply this. I want us as families to come out. And I want you to stand as families. As you are mom and dad, if you're here, like a husband and a wife, and the children are with you, I want you to come out as families and stand as families. Is that fine? And then we're going to come through as part. We're going to lay hands on all of you, and we're going to get you anointed. Is that fine? Can we respond to that, guys? Is that fine? Can you come out for us, please? Everybody that's online, I want to pray for you. I want to minister to you as well before I start to minister. Yeah, everybody that's online, quickly throw up your hands. I want you to see. I want to see your hands. I want the volunteers, guys, won't you help us take the families all the way around the church? All the way around. Everybody that's online, throw up your hands. Ushers, we quickly need you guys, volunteers, just to help us. Let the people stand around the building. Can you guys stand? Quickly help, guys. 2 minutes passes. Quickly help. I want the people around the building, please. Quickly help us, guys. Zotro Bosher, come worship team, you can come back. Bora Bakatro Bosher, Betra Bosher, Abakora Bakatro Bosher, Betre Beshre. Zapatro Bosher, Abakora Bakara Biondro Bosher. Can we start to pray in the Holy Ghost? Bora Bakatro Bosher, Abakora Bakatro Bosher, Abakora Bakatro Bosher, Beandro. Zopotro Bosher, Betra Bosher, Beandro. Zabandro Bosher, Abakora Bakara Biondro, Bakora Beandro. Quickly help us, guys. There's many people here. Quickly stand around the bowl. Come on, let's help us. Bora bakotro boshere beatro boshere. Zepetere beshra bakora bakatro boshra bakora bakara beam. Everybody that's online of us, everybody that's inside the building, I want you just to, as families, I want you just to start to pray in the Holy Spirit. We're going to do this gently. Spirit of the Lord's here. Father, I pray, every family member that is here, just lift your hands to the Lord. Everybody's here. Father, I want to pray for everybody that's online tonight. Father, I want to pray for Durban. I want to pray for Cape Town. I want to pray for Pretoria, Witbank, Lord, all the different places, Secunda, watching us, Lord, wherever else. Father, I pray that the anointing comes into the room. I pray that your Spirit will come into the place that people are watching me from, that right now your power will come into places in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray, touch families there where they're watching from in this moment. Father, I pray that the anointing will come present on people in the name of Jesus Christ. What I want you to do online tonight, I want you to comment your name and your surname for me. I'll be watching the stream afterwards and then looking at them, and then I'm going to pray. Comment your name and your surname for me. Thank you.